Easter, but this time of Christ's resurrection and his death. But it's very important to us. It's something that's taught from the Old Testament scriptures, brought into the new when we're teaching these new people that are coming to Christ. I would like to start, and we're going to get to Hebrews, but I'd like to just read some passages to give some basis by what we're going to be talking about. If you can turn with me quickly to Romans chapter 6. The sequel is not Christ went to heaven and that's it. Now we're just waiting to die and go to be with him. Christ is here today. He's inside each one of you. The risen Christ is there by his Spirit. He has come and lives in you. He cannot get any closer to you. If he was to move one place or another, he'd keep coming out of you. Then he would be coming further. Christ individually is not only here in person, because if he was just here in person, all the other churches wouldn't have him. But because he used them a really intelligent way so he could be in heaven, his person, body, but he could send his Spirit and he could be in each one of us. And that the proof of it is that you're here today. Many of you have come to know Christ. Maybe some have not, but you have come to know Christ. You are born again. You have been put back into the God, to the branch of Adam. You have been in the branch of Adam, separated, fallen to the ground without hope. But Christ has come and he's a new branch. The Old Testament tells us several places. He is a new branch that God brought in already. So when we are born again, we're put into Christ and we become part of the family of God. And in Romans 6, chapter 6, it says this, shall we continue to sin? Verse 2, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin and live already any longer therein? The whole purpose of the resurrection is that the nature of God himself, of Jesus Christ, can come in and live inside us so that we can shine. And not only Jesus himself shining, but he can shine all over the world, all over every tribe, every language. And it's prophesied that every tribe, every language, every people, every nation will have the people in it that day in heaven with us. And that's what happens due to the resurrection, due to Christ being alive. It's a living proof to the whole world. I mean, who would believe a man who was condemned as a criminal, who died on a cross, who would believe in him, naturally speaking? So many, he never resurrected. Many, they don't even believe he was the Son of God. That's a miracle. And only God can do that. And our lives are a demonstration of that resurrection power. It says, Ken, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into his death. We received, because Christ died, that Spirit of Christ that comes in us had died and rose again. And like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. The whole purpose, we were talking in Sunday school, when God came in, used the name Elohim, which is plural. We use in the beginning God, but it's Elohim. God is more than just one person in the Godhead. It's God the Father, God the Son, the God the Holy Spirit. That shows us that God loves relationships. He could have just appeared God the Father. But when he says in the beginning, God, Elohim, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, they created all things. It also talks not only relationship, but companionship. It's a desire to be a part. And so God wanted to be so strongly a part of your lives and give you life and not see you go into hell, because that was not his purpose for the human race. And that's why he came and he died and went through that. Now, I often thought, why all that suffering, God? Did it have to be that way? I really believe that God knew what was going to happen, but I really believe Satan was trying to kill Jesus before he fulfilled all the prophecies that were made of him. I believe that Satan was trying to make him give up by the cruelty of those men who treated him that way, by their words and by the pain that they caused him. But he didn't give up. Don't give up. You're never going to feel the pain. Maybe you have your own pain inside you, pains that you've gone through in the past. But don't give up. God, He wants you to walk with him. He wants a relationship with you. He wants you to be somebody, to be something in life. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. As children of God and as people, we all are going to become, someday we're going to be judged. Why is the judge? When we think of judge, we always think negative. But there is a judgment, negative and positive. If you're judged, it's going to be observed, and it's going to be, the facts are going to be brought up, and then God is going to decide. This is a result of the resurrection. God has given you His Spirit. He's given you a new nature. Now, someday, you're going to become before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema, and He's going to judge each one of us according to what we have done. Chapter 10 of Hebrews, verse 30. For we know Him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense. I will reward that person according to what he did or didn't do, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge who? The unsaved? No, His people. He's going to judge us because He brought His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. He paid a terrible price for us, and He's going to judge us. How did you use that? The opportunities He's given us, that is what's so wonderful and so gracious. Not only does He save us, but He makes us His Son. Then He tells us, okay, I'm going to let you live a little bit longer because I want you to become great in heaven and eternally receive rewards. The opportunity to have something that for eternity. It says in Colossians that if you be risen with Christ, that we're in heaven, in the heavenlies already. We are already in Christ. We are. There's no time element between the Christ and us because the spiritual world doesn't have a time or distance. It's like that instantaneously. It's like it was present, and Christ is present in us. And He says God will judge His people. It is verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. I sometimes thought I could imagine myself someday getting there before this big judgment seat and these thousands of angels and millions of people standing around and these people coming up and getting their medals, if you want to use it like in an Olympics, and they're getting their gold medals and their silver medals and some of them are getting their brass medals and all of a sudden my name is called out, Mr. Brennan, come forth. And I come walking down and then He gets this thing and He puts it over my neck. And I look down, and there's just a wooden toothpick there. No metal. And there's no cheering. There's no rejoicing. Because I took the pain that the Son of God went through. The suffering that He went through, I didn't value. I didn't value the resurrection of Jesus Christ and His desire to become part of our lives and to live in us and be closer to us than any other person in the world could ever be. I didn't value that. Verse 32, but call to remembrance the former days in which you were illuminated. Ye endured a great fight. You know, how many of you have been saved and you went to talk to your relatives or maybe even your spouse. And they got upset, they got nervous. And what are you doing this? What are you changing your religion? What's happening to you? Why are you, they think you're going to another religion. And they start persecuting. Your old friends left you. They made fun of you. You endured at that time and you stood firm as a Christian. But then afterwards things just started getting kind of mundane, kind of cold. And just kind of went through the movements automatically. But you didn't feel that joy. He says, remember when you went through. In verse 33, partly whilst ye were made gazing stock by the reproaches and afflictions, you were made a gazing stock. People looked at you and they says, that's one of those guys that say they're a Christian. They put their faith in Jesus Christ. And you were made fun of, but you stood firm. You stood on. You continued on. And look at this verse 34. For you had compassion of me in my bonds. Compassion of the people of God. took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. Could you imagine your goods having to be spoiled and you took joyfully? Because it's an opportunity for you to receive rewards. If you fight and get mad and angry because your goods were spoiled, like say your house burns down, or you're doing something's right and people try to get vengeance on you, if you get angry and want to get vengeance back on you, you lose your reward. If you take it, it says here, knowing in yourselves, look at the last part of the verse, 34, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring what? Substance. Now notice this word substance, and we're going to notice that in the first chapter, in the first verse of chapter 11. Substance is something that you can feel that you have, that you know exists. It is there. And God says, if you're doing what's right here, if you're letting God work through in you first and then through you, that you are going to have rewards, a recompense. He's going to give it to you. He's going to give you position. He's going to give you possession. He's going to give you power. He's going to give you popularity. He's going to do a lot of things you're going to gain by the way you live as a Christian with the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ living in you through His Spirit. That is a blessing. That is grace. That is a wonderful thing. That is an exciting thing. Not only do we become children of God, not only do we have a home in heaven, but now we have opportunities to have possessions, power, and to have position. All these wonderful things that God offers to each one of His children. It doesn't matter how much you have. It doesn't matter how beautiful you are. It doesn't matter whether you're in good health or bad health. Whatever you do unto God, God says, if you give a cup of water to a person, a simple cup of water to a person in the name of a prophet, what kind of reward are you going to get? Prophet's reward. You people have given and prayed for our work down there. Many have come into Christ, but it's because people like you have given, and God's going to reward you. And sometimes I feel I'm going to be rewarded less than a lot of you, because a lot of you have gone through suffering perhaps to give a lot more than I ever have. Some of you probably have spent hours praying. Even though you say, I can't give, but I can pray. For whatever you do for the Lord's work here, wherever you are in your work, God is going to reward you. You just give somebody a word of encouragement that works with you. They're going through a hard time. You sit and talk to them. That God's going to reward you. That's even better than a glass of water. A glass of water is a thing if you refresh somebody. They're thirsty and you need refreshing. All over people needing refreshing. I came on the plane now, came back from Brazil. I came on a plane. I met people next to me. And I was talking to one guy, and he was sitting on the other side of the aisle. And I was beginning to talk to him and ask questions. And he began to ask me questions. And I says, oh, I got to get a plane. And it's the second time the plane first broke down, mechanic. And he says, I looked at my watch and I says, I got 5 minutes to get the plane. The guy on the aisle says, I'll take you there. And he says, well, aren't you going to get another plane? No, I live here. I know the airport real well. And he says, I'll take you there. And I says, well, how are you going to know? I don't even have here in my ticket. They didn't give me where to go, what gate to go. He says, well, we'll find out. So we walk out and we're walking out and I'm grabbing my bags and I'm pulling. He's going and we're walking real fast to get there because it's already a couple minutes through. And then he reaches over and he pops something in my pocket, shirt pocket. He says, God told me to give you this to you. And I says, no, you don't need to do that. He says, I know I don't need to do that, but God told me I'm going to do it. And I walked over there. He says, there's your gate. And there's nobody around. And I ran into the plane, picked my ticket. And later on, I got to Philadelphia from Atlanta, Philadelphia. And I was in the church in southern Pennsylvania. I went to bed that night and I pulled stuff out of my pocket. And there was $60 he put in my pocket. You see, I just stood there and I said, God, I don't deserve this. You're wonderful. But then I think He's going to be rewarded too. Isn't our God gracious? Isn't He gracious? And you know, I was thinking about that widow lady that God, Jesus was looking at. He says, look at, of all those other people pouring money into this little widow lady, she got two little, from what I understand, is little copper coins. And she probably didn't throw it because it would make a sound, kind of a dead sound. Everybody would know what it was. She probably walked over there and let it fall in real lightly because she didn't want everybody to hear. I don't know whether she'd have been ashamed of it, but I probably would have. You know, it would just make a clunking sound. It wouldn't make a nice sound like gold or silver. It'd make a duh sound, probably comes from copper, you know. And Jesus then says, who gave the most? And obviously it looked like those others that had a lot more money. But then Jesus says, you know why she gave the most? Because she only had 2 coins and that's all she had. She's a widow. Oh, but what about budgeting? What about making money? What's going on? She shouldn't have done it. Jesus should have said that. Jesus should have said, don't give all you can give me. You're going to die. You're not going to have money next morning. Can't you think, little lady? He never said that, did he? She knew that God could take care of her. And she says, I'm going to give this because I want to give it to God. He did so much for me, I didn't care. I know he's going to take care of me. He's taken care of me all these years. He's going to give me. He's going to take care of me now. And he did it. God never once rebuked her for it. And she received a greater reward. So you think, I don't have much. I don't even have money. But do you have time? Can you pray? Can you pray for your church? Do you have time maybe to visit somebody? Encourage them? Everything we're doing is going to be recompensed. Continuing on our passage here. 35. Cast not away. Chapter 10 of Hebrews. Verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath a recompense of a reward. It's very clearly there. For ye have need of patience. Why is it patience? Because, you know, we want a reward immediately. And I remember somebody asked the question, would you rather have $100 now or $1 million 5 years down the road? What do you think that the majority of the people would want? $100, because they said, I don't know that I'm going to be around. But you know what? Are we going to be around, let's say, 1 million years from now? Yeah. We're going to be around in heaven. We're going to be in heaven. We're going to be in the new earth. We're going to be ruling with Christ 1 million years from now. So I'd rather get something that's going to last for 1 million years than something on this earth. But we are so preoccupied that something will happen to us. I remember my wife and I, we run around to all the churches. We always felt that we shouldn't ask from the churches for money or tell them we need money or anything like that. And we have never done that. Now, we haven't even asked the pastor, have I ever written in a letter saying we need money to build Canaan, to buy a car, to buy food? Nothing. And I remember we getting on the plane, my wife and I, and we thought, well, let's get on the plane. We don't have any money promised from anybody. Not $1 promised. And we thought, well, God took care of almost 2 million Israelites in the desert. Can't he take care of just the family of my wife and I and 2 little kids? And my wife said, let's go. Sold our Volkswagen van that I had fixed up, about $475, had done the painting, helped fix up the motor. Drove around, visited all the churches, and we got down to Florida as well. Let's sell it. And we sold it for $1,000. And that was just enough to pay for our passage. And you know what? We never skipped a meal. We paid all our bills, and God took care of us. He can do it. I know it because I've seen it over and over and over again. Christ is alive. He's living in each one of us. He's so close to you. Do you think he's going to allow anything that is going to be bad or hurt you that he does not want it to? You may be going through pain today, but maybe that through that pain you are going to be rewarded for more than those that are not going through pain. Some people say, I remember saying, God, I want to know you more closely. I want to know you more emotionally. I want to be attached to you emotionally. I want to feel what you feel. And all of a sudden, about 6 months after I started praying that, my friends, the people that, co-workers, people that were relatives, blood relatives, they started turning against me. They started saying things behind my back. Things were going on. I says, Lord, what's going on? And he says, didn't you ask me how I feel? And you know, I felt like crying. I said, Lord, this is just a little bit of what you felt. But thank you, Lord, for letting me know. Now, don't ask God to do it all the way, because if he does, you probably won't take it. Ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, ye might receive what? The promise. Promise of what? Of eternal life? No, we already have it. Of being raised in Christ? No, we're already alive in Christ. Christ lives in us and we're alive. Our body's going to die. But we're going to receive a new body. But we're already alive in Christ. It's the promise of the rewards that he's going to give to us. For yet a little while, and he shall come. Come will come. He that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. What does that mean? You've got to wait. Faith requires a space of time. It's just like that $100 or $1 million. What would you rather have? Now the $100 or 5 years down the road $1 million? Well, I'd rather have it 5 years down the road. Sometimes I read that we're seated in Christ in heavenly places, and that's where we should seek those things from above. And it says in Ephesians that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I also thought, in heavenly places. Oh, in heavenly places. Yeah. But now I want to be blessed now a little bit, God. No, but I began to think, well, that's the best place to have what we want. Because there it's not going to rust. People aren't going to steal it. It's not going to burn down. It's not going to break down. It's not going to smash. It's not going to die. It's going to be there forever to enjoy. What a blessing. What the grace, the love of God. He helps us. We go through trials because he wants us to gain rewards. We go through suffering because he wants us to gain rewards. It depends on how we take those sufferings, how we take those times, difficult times, that he is going to reward you. You say, but I suffer more than anybody. Well, praise God. Because you'll probably get rewarded more than anybody. I'm dumb. I'm stupid. Well, praise God. What you do, maybe God's going to reward you than the most intelligent person. Because he does nothing. Because he thinks he knows it all. Verse 38. But first half part of that verse says, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. What does that mean? I began to think about that, and he says, well, draw back, what's that mean? Is he going to go to hell? No. It's like you're running in Olympics, and all of a sudden you get tired and you say, I'm not going to do this, it's not worth it. And you just stop and you walk off the field. Are you going to be given a bronze medal? Are you going to come in 30th? Let's say there were 1,000 people running. You're going to come in 1,000th? No, you're not even going to come anything. You were just in the Olympics. You're not going to get anything. You're going to be as yet by fire. Everything's going to be burning. You're just going to be there with nothing. Is that what you want to live in eternity with nothing? God is so gracious. He's given us an opportunity to gain wealth. The best portfolio is in heaven. You have it forever. Well, when I die, who's going to take care of me? Who's been taking care of you all along? Verse 1 of chapter 11. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, you believe so much, but you know there's this time of that hope there doesn't mean maybe. Oftentimes we use, I hope it happens. I hope so. That is a doubt. This hope here is a firm. The only thing here, what it means is you got a space of time. You're waiting for it to happen. You're waiting to get it. That's the kind of hope it's talking about. So the faith is the substance of things. In other words, you know those things are there. Now let me ask you, how many of you believe that there exists a country called Brazil? How many? Only a few of you? Most of you believe that there's a country that exists in so-called Brazil. But how many of you have been there? How many of you have gone there and touched it? Okay, then somebody sends you a ticket and says, you can go down and visit Faith and Tim, the country of Brazil. You say, I don't believe this country exists because I never saw it. I never touched it. I was never there. Now, let me ask you a question. When you came and sat on those chairs, did you look at the legs and make sure they're okay and nothing's going to fall? Did any of you do that? How many did that when you sat down? Well, you can believe in a chair. Why can't you believe in God? You can sit on a chair and rest your body. Why can't you rest on God's promises? The risen Lord has come. He lives in us. And we can trust all the promises he made. The worst has passed. Now it's all blessing. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat at the right hand of the Father so that he could reign in our heart through us. Verse 3, Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by God, so that the things which were seen were not made of things which were just to appear. The world was made by those things that we cannot see. But they're there. That's a substance. So he's saying, because you believe and you have faith in this, you're going to see the substance of your faith later on. Just as the worlds were made by things you cannot see, now the word of God that you hear today and believe, you cannot see those things now and touch them. You cannot feel them, but they are there. Verse 6. For without faith it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. Notice that again. Rewarder. Recompenser. Rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now what does that mean? When I'm down there in Brazil trying to learn the language, I know it took a long time. But you know what God says? I want you to learn this language. Nobody's learned it yet. And still nobody else has learned it. I would sit, my wife says, Tim, you need to learn this language. I have the kids to teach, homeschool, take care of the house clean. I'm going to dedicate, this is my ministry now. I'm going to dedicate my time to this. Now she has a full ministry now in counseling. Hoping a part of the discipleship, helping people see areas in their lives that are hindering them so they can grow spiritually, emotional areas, sins in their lives, and they're coming, many are coming to Christ through her ministry, coming to Christ, or growing in Christ through her ministry. Those young believers are taking all that trash that they had in their past lives and just confessing it before God and giving it to God, and God's changing their lives, making their lives a different person. And it's, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How do we seek him? By asking God, what is it in my life that is hindering you? That's seeking him. God, show me. And then when something bad happens to you, think about it. Don't get angry at God. You know, when anybody dies or anything happens, the first thing we say is, oh, God, why did you do that? Why don't you blame the devil once in a while? Why don't we say, oh, Satan, why did you do that? We always blame God for everything. You notice that? Sometimes we are pain and hurting because of our own sin. Has nothing to do with God putting it on us. It just happened. God releases. Okay, you want to go on in your sin? I'm going to take my protection away from you. It says, God must believe in that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now it goes, I'm going to skip because when are we supposed to finish? No, we're just about, well, I'm going to get done. Okay, he said that. I know it's getting close. Verse 8, let's go on to verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He went, not knowing whither he went. He didn't know where he's going. Could you imagine Abraham says, oh Dad, Mom, I'm going to leave. Where are you going? I don't know. Well, why are you going? Well, God said for me to go. Well, how was his voice? Was it Abraham? Was it low or high voice? Abraham? No, he just talks to me, Mom and Dad. I feel this is what he wants me to do. You know what? His dad was so convinced, he went with him part of the way. After he died, then Abraham continued his journey. God said, okay, go on further now. Is your life that way? People can see that your life is you have a walk with God that people will listen to you, even your mom and dad. By faith, he took this. He took a step. He believed God. Now, he didn't know where he was going. So how could he add up the gas mileage? And how could he add up how much the gas was going to cost? And how could he add up how much the maintenance in the car was going to cost? He didn't know. But he knew that God told him to do it. And he did it. And it worked. Oh, he's surprised. Wow. No, not wow. He does that all the time. It's something normal to believe God. If it's not something special, I mean, that everybody else is doing, and like I thought, I could go around churches and show these flashy slides and ask for a lot of money and all that kind of stuff. Well, the unsaved can do that too. Unsaved go around, they make all this advertisement, they make money to do their projects that they want. But it says, no, let God do it. And he's done it.